Welcome back to the Wellspring Podcast. This week, we're going to change things up just a little bit. I'm actually out of town right now, so this is pre-recorded a week ahead of time. So we can't really go over questions for the sermon, so if we get some good questions, we'll go over those next week. But this week, we just wanted to take a minute and kind of not really introduce you to the staff, but just kind of give you a little bit of background, what people do around here. I know that we kind of joke around with each other sometimes. What do you even do around here? I was just joking with Matty Gray and Silas yesterday. They were just kind of hanging out. They were trying to figure out what this week's going to look like, but you know, I walked by a couple times and they were just sitting in the same spot, so I was giving them a hard time. What do you guys even do around here? So when I say we give a hard time, it's mostly just me, but you know, we give each other a hard time a little bit. But I did want to take a minute to discuss what does go on around here, because you know, it's not black and white. You know, it's not even the same thing every week. So I'll kind of start off just giving you a little bit of information on what my job looks like. Officially, my title is AV and Facilities Director. I really don't know what I do around here. I think one of the weirder jobs, and that those two areas don't have a ton of overlap. So the AV side of things, I'll handle. Sunday morning, I'll take care of making sure all of the lyrics are ready to go. You'll notice I don't typically run lyrics. I just get the back end set up. And then you kind of just click one slide through the next. It doesn't make it easy. You still have to pay complete and total attention the whole service, but I'll get all that set up. Me and Heather will work together on that. She'll make sure she gets me the order of things, and then I get them put in order. All of the sound stuff. There's not a lot of week to week that's gone into the sound, but over the course of the last 5 years or so, I think we've gone through 5 soundboards. They're the same board, but we've just had problems. Like we've had electrical surges, I think from lightning, but really not sure. So taking care of that kind of stuff, there's a lot of back end setup. The joke's been made before that my title should just be other, because I handle the other stuff. So that's kind of AV. I do the network stuff as well. There's not a lot of week to week, but just it'd be 3 weeks ago now. We're building onto the front of the building, so we lost 3 cameras on the front of the building. So I took one of those cameras and put it on the light pole facing back at the building. So it's kind of hard to really say what I do like in a week to week, because there's so much of a lot of my job is reactive, waiting for things to break and then fixing those. But as the building gets bigger and as our staff gets bigger, that task does become bigger and bigger. So on the facility side of things, HVAC, I'll replace the air filters. We actually, in the worship center, you had to climb up in the attic all the way over the, there's like 3 tiers of truss up in the attic. So I had to climb over all of those and then come back down on the other side with an air filter in hand to replace the air filter and the air handler on the west side of the building. So I took and put return air vents that hold the air filters on the ceiling in the worship center. So just stuff like that. Water leaks. We are cursed with water leaks around here. I'll help facilitate taking care of some of that stuff. And then toilets, wobbly toilets, I'll fix those. The water running through toilets, I'll fix those. I mean, if it's a building mechanical problem, I'll take care of those. I'll also oversee the missions house facility aspects of that. So broken door handles, air filters, that kind of stuff. And then Amy Mullins cleans the building. I don't think we're going to have her on today, but she's a part of the staff as well. But her job is the sweeping the floors, mopping the floors, cleaning the mirrors, that kind of stuff. So I work with her to make sure more of the nitty gritty actual cleaning happens. So that kind of doesn't answer the question of what I do, because I still don't know how to answer that question. But you kind of get an idea. It's just kind of an ever-changing, rotating, just reactive position. So next up, we're going to have
talk about the podcast that you do.
Oh, yeah. And I do the podcast. I guess, you know, that's important. The podcast, getting sermons online, live streaming. Yep. There's a lot. So Next up, we have Dr. Scott Smith. I know he doesn't use the title often, but I do think that, you know, he put in the work, so we'll give him the title from time to time. So, Scott, you're the lead pastor. You know, I joke with you more than anybody else. I think people have probably overheard this even. You know, you just preach for 3 hours on Sunday morning and you're done for the week. Obviously, that's not the case. So can you give me a little background? What does your week look like?
So I'll start on Mondays. We'll kind of work our way through. So I'll get in about 8 o'clock Monday morning. Excuse me. And I will get staff meeting agenda ready. And we start getting ready for the podcast, which we usually record on Monday afternoons. And I say we, it'd be me and Kent and Jaden. We'll kick around some ideas for questions if we didn't have any come in that week. If we did have any come in, we'll talk about those, make sure everybody saw them. And then Jaden puts that agenda together, and then he'll email it to us. And I usually don't look at that until about 5 or 10 minutes before the podcast starts, because I've got other things going on. So get the agenda ready. Usually on Monday mornings, I'll get one or two phone calls between 8 and 9 for whatever reason from people during usually talking about something that happened on Sunday or whatever. So I'm kind of rushing in that hour. 9 o'clock, we have staff meeting until usually 10:30 or so. And then I'll get out of a staff meeting and usually do a few things, like meet with somebody from the staff that we come up with from our meeting, and then go to lunch, come back. And then in the afternoon from about 12:30, well, usually about 1 to 1:30, I will try and figure out, okay, the following week, what's my sermon text going to be? That's the most important thing for me. Before I leave church on Monday afternoon, I want to know what text I'm in. So I'll read through different ideas, maybe look online at some ideas. So that's usually about 1 o'clock until about 1:35-ish, something like that. Then I look at some stuff for the podcast. We record the podcast till 2:30. And then I go in from 2:30 to 4. That it's all about trying to figure out which text I want to land on, because when I come in on Tuesday, in an ideal world, doesn't happen very often, to be perfectly frank. Tuesday's day that I would use for sermon prep. I'm on some boards, and they meet on Tuesday, and so I'll do those. You know, at least half the month, there are different boards that meet that I'm on: Loving Grace, Light Sports Ministry, Web City Cares, and then I'm on the Board of Education for Web City School District. And then I've been asked to be on one for the State Convention of Southern Baptist, Missouri Baptist Convention. And so usually something else on those days will happen on Tuesday. So Wednesday, I usually help I'm helping with youth, get some things ready for that. I usually have meetings on Wednesday night. I'll try and set meetings up for Wednesday. So that's usually a busy day of just doing things, getting things done, and meeting with people, that sort of thing. Thursday, try to finish up the sermon, come up with questions. And then on Thursday morning, we have a meeting for the service to make sure the service is lined out. That usually takes about an hour. We go through every song, every lyric, the text that I'm using, all of that. And then I try to finish up my sermon. And then when I leave on Thursday, I try not to look at or think about the sermon until Friday night. Usually I'll go to a football game or basketball game or something, either right before that or right after that. Usually before, I'll try to read through my sermon one good time. And then I start to really think about it, because I'm naturally not great at transitions. So I try to think about those sorts of things. Saturday evening, spend quite a bit of time. Get up early Sunday morning, come in hopefully an hour before everybody else. Doesn't usually happen, but that's the goal. And then get ready for the sermon. And that's kind of generally speaking what my week looks like. One of the things that I think would be important, in fact, I was talking to Mary Jo about this. She thought I should highlight this. You know, one of the things that's a privilege about being a pastor at a church for an extended amount of time, 13 years here. That's a lot longer than the average. One of the privileges is I get to know people. Like, I know your stories. Students that were in student ministry with me, 13, 15 years ago, I've now had a chance to officiate their wedding, see their kids born, starting to grow up. So I've been around for a long time, and I feel like there are people here who are like almost like family to me and to our family. That's a benefit. But then the side that weighs on you is, you know, people, like, you know, the loss that they've been through, you know, marriage troubles or struggles that they've had, trips to the doctor. I've sat with many people in the waiting room of hospitals over the years. And that's a privilege. It's something that I enjoy on some level, but the compounded weight of that is something that is at times tough to carry. And so that's why it's a double-edged sword. I mean, it's a privilege. I'm thankful for it. And yet it's something that compounds, that weighs on a person over time. Yeah. And like I said, I don't want it to sound like I'm angry or sad about it. It is definitely a double-edged sword.
But. And that's part of why I wanted to take the time to do this, is there's some realities in the background that it's not even like we don't know them. We just forget them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's absolutely that's over there.
Yes.
You know, it's easy to forget.
So. And so you see people come in on Sunday morning and there's some smile and you're like, man, this is great. But you know the story.
Yeah.
Like I know the backstory. I know things that are going on, and thankful for it. But it is a weight that pastors carry, and definitely those that are in one place for an extended amount of time.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, all right, I'll pass it on.
Thanks. Yeah. So that's, to recap, Scott just preached on Sunday mornings, but, I want to encourage you, just as you go about your week, do be praying for our staff, but specifically Scott, as he carries the burden of leading the church. I mean, I think that's been given to him by God, and it is a blessing, but, there are burdens even in blessings, so do be praying for our staff and Scott specifically. Next, Mary Jo. Mary Jo handles communications around here. So, Mary Jo, kind of tell me what do you do here?
So, I think my official title is communications director. So that is worship guide, any print that you see, any signs. Sometimes Jaden does those. If it's kids ministry related, but most of the time I do them. The website, Scott was just sitting here talking to Dakota and I about, can we change this on the website? Can we change this? Event promotions. So if there's something coming up, I'm the one who's kind of in charge of who's here, who's not, who do we tell, how do we get the information out to people? Dakota and I collaborate a lot with Heather on sermon series, and with Scott, what bumper videos, stage set design. Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things you'll notice as this continues on. There is a decent amount of overlap.
Yes.
And like, we don't have individual offices. We share a lot of spaces, and that's right. Part of the reason is because there is so much overlap in some of these little details.
Right. I started the week at a glance again this morning. Well, sent it out this morning, and I'm texting Dakota at 7:30. Why is this not showing up? So there's a lot of that. I answer a lot of texts throughout the week of, when is this? Can we use this? Does the church have this? What is, that? And then a lot of that overlap, which is funny because Scott and Dakota both sent me, there's this meme floating around. It's a T-shirt that says it's in the bulletin. It's been there for weeks. And it's kind of a joke, but also we spend a lot of time talking about how are we communicating effectively with the church? How do we make sure people are hearing what they need to hear, what we want them to hear? Our social media was hacked over the summer. So that's been a whole situation we've been trying to figure out. So if you've noticed, our Facebook has been dark since May. That's why
we don't really want to talk about it.
I know. don't ask Dakota about it, but we're terrible. Working on it. The YouVersion event for Sunday mornings. If something's wrong in there, it's usually my fault, or it's a glitch on YouVersion because it's a free app.
Yeah.
And part of my job is weird because I'm married to the pastor. So a lot of what I do some weeks is just helping Scott with, you know, a funeral or logistics for something else. So it's kind of a weird, I feel like this, we've said it already, but there's a lot of weird overlap in our jobs and what we do. So I think that's it.
Yeah. I don't know. Like it is crazy. The overlap in the, like the reality, I don't know if most people even know this, but you're just part-time. And so
yes, that's I work a lot here
to cram into part-time.
So technically I'm at church Monday, Tuesday, and Thursday morning. And then I do a lot from home. So a lot of times actually in the gym last night, Grayson and Scott were shooting baskets and I have my computer up there and I'm working on the Week at a Glance. So a lot of stuff is at weird hours because of that. Mm-hmm. So my technical office hours are Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. But
and then what's your other job for people that don't know?
My other job for people that don't know is I work at Webster Primary in the library for first and second grade. And it's kind of a weird shift, but I do feel like there's a lot of overlap in that. There's several people now at Webster who work at Webster who now go to Wellspring. Mm-hmm. And so that's really fun. So honestly, there's a lot of church talk at school, which sorry, public school people, but it's fun.
It's really crazy how integrated into the school system Wellspring is.
Yeah.
Like,
I think that's intentional.
Yeah.
Obviously the Lord. I think Web City Schools is so good about having churches partner with schools. That it is not like that a lot of other places. Mm-hmm. And I think, honestly, that's what makes Web City School so great.
Oh. All right, cool. Thanks, Mary Jo.
Thank you.
That's kind of a quick overview of what Mary Jo's got going on in her life. Next, we're going to have Jaden on. Jaden is our Wellspring Kids pastor. So, Jaden, you are full-time. So you have a whole lot under your job is, it's unique in that it's so, like, You're just the kids pastor, right? But you have so many people under you. So kind of like who's under your leadership? Kind of give me an overview of that.
So I oversee the Wednesday, Sunday, and other event volunteers. Mm-hmm. And so that adds up to quite a few people. I didn't realize it until making a tag in Breeze, which is our church management software that we use. Mm-hmm. But I added up all the volunteers we had in just last year, 2024. And in 2024, we had roughly 125 people in the church who have volunteered in some capacity in the kids ministry. So that might be Sunday, Wednesday, VBS. That's a big one. Yeah. VBS, just different events throughout the year, but about 125 people.
I wish you would have brought the numbers up in front of me before. I just thought of it and I'd have a hard time finding them in time. But that's a small church. Like 120 people is a small church. And I know a lot of people, myself included sometimes, still think as Wellspring is a small church, but statistically we're like, I don't want to lie to you. So I know we're in the top 5%. I think we're in the top 1%. I know definitively we're in the top 1% of Southern Baptist churches. And so when you start looking at numbers like that, like 120 just volunteers. So like, it's almost surprising because I do still think of Wellspring as a small church. Like I started when Wellspring, I actually came across old, if we took a head count on a Sunday morning, I think it was Christmas Eve and it was like 119 people. And I was like, dude, I still think of it that way, but it's not anymore. So it's crazy when you start looking at the numbers and the realities of that kind of stuff.
Well, and these leaders, I mean, because of their leadership, they're just reaching kids like crazy. So we had a kids leader lunch this past Sunday, and we actually got a few numbers. I showed them a few numbers of what we have, how we've been impacting the community. And so I'm just one person. I mean, I might try to schedule volunteers for Sundays and Wednesdays, but those who really make it happen are the leaders. And so I actually have a couple numbers, if you don't mind me going through them.
Yeah, go for it, man.
If you're at the kids leader lunch, or you got the email about this, you've probably seen this before, but just as a quick reminder, because I think it's just an awesome thing to see. So in the past 2 years, 2023 to 2025, we've had 437 kids checked in
to our system.
Unique kids.
Unique kids.
It's crazy.
It is like, it's crazy because I was looking at this. I was thinking, man, this does not even count our outreach to the school system, whether that be trying to help give meals to teachers and those kids see that. Our school assemblies, where we talk about character traits, how many kids see that. That's not talking about the Web City Cares snack pack drives. That's not even counting our Missouri Baptist Children's Home Christmas party we have at the church every December. I mean, the number in reality is a lot higher than that. But just the kids who've been checked in, 437.
And remind me, what age range of kids are you over?
So I'm over birth through sixth grade. Yeah. So it is an awesome, awesome window of opportunity for you to invest in these kids to really point them to Christ. And the leaders are doing exactly that.
Yeah. We got into numbers there a little bit, but I did want to take just a minute here. What does your week kind of look like?
Okay, so I had to make a list. I had a schedule. I try to stick to the schedule. But, you know, like anybody's schedule, it just changes sometimes. You got to do what you got to do. But first, when it comes to Mondays, it's usually staff meeting, the podcast, lay out the agenda for the week in terms of more like not odd jobs, but things that might come up. And so it's usually that. With Tuesdays, it's usually connecting with a volunteer, getting to form some kind of connection throughout the week. The last thing I would want to be is that guy who you just see on Sundays or just communicates to you if he needs something. Mm-hmm. That is not my goal.
Yeah.
I do not want to be that kind of pastor. But at the same time, I know there's just a lot of people under the care. So it's always good to have kind of a set apart time for that, just to be intentional with the time. That also includes some event planning for VBS, big one, camps and Superstart and all that. So Wednesday we'll roll around and it's getting the lesson prep for that, contacting leaders and whatnot. Thursday it's usually getting the substitutes for the classes to make sure that the Sunday classes are staffed. At times we have some last minute call outs due to sickness or family emergencies. And so staying on top of that on Thursday and throughout the weekend. But that's kind of the general lowdown. Another thing is, which might come up, say, on Monday at a staff meeting, is talking to kids about baptism, setting up meetings with them and their parents, or talking to parents about how to navigate different issues in raising their kids. Like with all the political violence we've seen over the past month, you know, there's been parents who've been wondering, like, how do we navigate this? And so getting to talk with them through that. So it is an honor and a privilege to do it. And I love it. I love the job.
Cool. Well, thanks, Jaden. Appreciate it. Just kind of looking over the kids ministry as a whole, just kind of give it a little bit better idea of what's going on there. So yeah,
thank you.
All right. Next up, we've got Kent, our spiritual formations pastor. Kent, you've been on staff for 2 years now?
Just like, under, yeah.
Just
actually,
under 2 years?
Two days away from 2 years.
There you go. So. We'll call it 2 years. So what spiritual formation pastor is kind of a kind of a unique title. What does that mean? What's that entail?
Yeah, it's a title we use, but really, if you want to boil down my job more so, I'm really more of an associate pastor. I have a primary focus in groups and Wellspring U discipleship, but then my job probably looks more like an associate pastor than anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What does your week to week entail?
So my week is really difficult because it changes every week. It really depends on what's going on in that week. I have a number of areas I'm kind of assigned. So I do a lot of the pastoral ministry that Scott does. So I'll do hospital visits. I'll do prayer. I'll do prep for the Lord's Supper to do on Sunday. So I do a little bit of that. I also do a lot of preaching and teaching. So I preach on average about 8 to 10 times a year. And then I have weekly Wellspring U for 20 times a year. I have other groups I'm leading, like a Tuesday night Bible study. I have community groups I have to prep for. So that's kind of that element. I prep for all the Sunday stuff as well. So I handle kind of our weekend experience, which is like connections, hospitality, greeters, things like that. And so just making sure that all of those things kind of work together. Jaden mentioned his volunteers. Between community groups and hospitality, I manage about 70 volunteers between those different facets of those ministries. Community groups, I organize those. I kind of help with supplying them, with promoting them, with getting people connected individually, one-on-one to different groups. with coordinating with my group leaders just to make sure everything's going well and make sure they're informed on what's going on. Then there's kind of the Wellspring U arm, which I basically do the same thing for Wellspring U that I do for community groups, except I have to teach that 20 times a year. I also manage Discover Wellspring, which is our next steps, getting connected to the church, getting membership. And so we do that 5 times a year. I coordinate getting everybody into that. Their next steps transitions into different ministries, getting them plugged into serving. I mentioned the hospitality team, which is kind of my weekly thing. I also handle all the benevolence at our church. So the different benevolence requests we get, which we get a lot of them, they all come through me and are eventually either resolved or kind of denied or kind of distributed to the elders. And I coordinate with them if there's a bigger need that we need to address that's a bigger financial need. And then there's just the other of every week. So I will get assigned any number of tasks that Scott kind of distributes to me to handle. So it may be getting people rides to church. It may be answering the phones, just whatever comes along that he kind of passes my way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the, like, I assume by this point in the podcast, you've realized all of these, it's hard to, from 10,000 feet to like refine down in just a couple minutes, what our job entails. Cause there's so many moving parts. And what I think the part that's so difficult about it, that is like, we're here for people.
Right.
And that's I think all of us would affirm that we love that and we want to be here for people, but man, people are hard. So don't be hard people. It's great. We love it. We enjoy it. Is there anything else you wanted to throw in there before?
Yeah. I mean, my job is really tough to pin down, probably more so than anybody else's, because it's always evolving. It's always changing. I have a bit of a core that I have, but right now I think I've got it at 2.5 pages, single space of job duties I have. And that list just continues to grow. And so my weeks never look the same. There are some elements that will kind of be the same each week. Like I have to prep for Wednesday night, or if I'm preaching, I got to prep the sermon. But other than that, it changes every single day. So I basically come in with a list of a couple of paragraphs each day, and I basically have to do the things on that day or distribute them to the next and kind of prioritize and kind of, it's kind of like hospital. I'm triaging. So I'm trying to get to the most important and then kind of going down the list.
Yeah. Yeah. It was kind of funny. You said supplying community groups. And like that's even the work that goes into that, like forks. Yeah. Forks and plates and napkins. I mean, getting that stuff lined out. There's no small detail that can get left unnoticed or things.
Yeah, that was something I started when I came here, because I got with our community groups and I said, hey, our leaders, I said, what do you guys need? You know, what's really burdening you? And one of the things they mentioned was, you know, we're just being overwhelmed by the cost of having to buy not just the food, but all the plates and forks and cups and knives and just simple things that you would think about, or you wouldn't really think about. And so twice a year I go and just resupply all of them with whatever they need. So I send them out a spreadsheet, they put on what they need, and I just go buy it and get it to them.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I mean, that's the, like I joke about people being hard and stuff, but that's what we're here for, is to support people, to support the church, to grow the church. And I mean, sometimes it is a fork.
Right.
Sometimes it's, you know, some heavy discipleship or discipline or whatever it may be. Sometimes it's something awesome like baptism. Sometimes it's a fork.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Well, thanks, Kent. I appreciate it.
Sure.
It was good to kind of see what your week looks like as well. So next up, we've got Heather. Heather is in charge of, she's our worship leader and our finance director, I think is, do we call you director?
I call myself a bookkeeper.
Bookkeeper. Okay. Fine. I'll roll with that. So kind of same question. First of all, who do you lead? Like who's under your leadership?
The worship team. I have probably 14 to 15 people on my team.
Yeah, you kind of got like two worship teams that cycle every other week. So
I try to keep it every other week for people, but that doesn't always work out.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like we have a lot of talented people in the church, but that is the worship team is uniquely talented. That's not just, you know.
Yes.
You've put in some work to be talented on the worship team. What is your week look like leading up to Sunday morning? Because, I mean, I kind of would joke with you the same way I'll joke with Scott. Like, oh, you just get up there and sing. What do you even do around here? So kind of give us a little bit of background. Like, what's your week look like? Because I know, I think everybody knows that you handle worship. You're the worship leader. But the finance side especially is kind of one of those things get forgotten, because nobody cares about finances until something goes terribly awry.
Money left.
Yeah, exactly. Do we have money, Heather? Do
we have
a paycheck
next
week?
We have money.
Okay, great, great.
So on Mondays we have staff meeting, and then the rest of my day usually is spent on the monetary part of my job. I take in all the money, I record it. Most of the money goes out through me. I joke that I spend the most amount of money on as any staff person does, because I pay all the bills, the donations, the reimbursements. I work with our treasurer and get him whatever info he needs. We've recently started a mission team, and they're in charge of working with all of our missionaries that we support. And I kind of have been a part of starting and organizing that team and getting them the info that they need as far as financially, how we support those people, the contact info for them, how we get the money to them. And then they in turn tell me who needs what money, and I take care of getting that money to them. When I first started, I did have to kind of overhaul the system just a little bit and get it a little more streamlined. So I've gotten that to where I've streamlined that to, I usually spend that time on Mondays. Yeah. That's kind of the day that I've designated for that monetary part of my job. And then the rest of the week, my main job is worship leader. I plan the songs, organize the volunteer musicians. I play a big role in the flow of each of our services, and planning the songs is more than just picking songs that I feel like playing. The tempo and the keys have to flow together, so there's a musicality that goes with it. And then I'm also very picky about the songs that we introduce. The message and the theology of the lyrics is very important. And also, I'm going to get a little hippy dippy here, I also feel like I kind of pay attention to, you know, kind of the theme of the church at this time, and mm-hmm. like what kind of what I feel like the church needs to hear or needs to express through worship.
Mm-hmm.
I also plan fellowship team building events. Recently going to three services. One of the things that we talked about was trying to make sure that our volunteers feel appreciated, especially the worship team volunteers are here for all three services mm-hmm. every single time. And that's a lot to ask of them, because that's around, you know, 6 hours of their day on a Sunday. And so one of the ways that we came up with that is to feed them breakfast. And so I've organized, I guess, now I have 8 more volunteers that I organize mm-hmm. with bringing breakfast to the team every Sunday. Not just the worship team, for the AV team also. So I spend a lot of time planning, for special occasions. I decorate the stage, and I collaborate with Mary Jo on our photo backdrop area. Just a whole lot of planning. And then of course there's the ministry side of things. So I'll just give you an example of the last 2 weeks. In the last 2 weeks, I've taken someone to the doctor. I visited that person in the hospital twice. And then I spent an hour on the phone with someone going through a very tough time. And then I visited that person at their house to physically give them a hug and show support to them, you know, so that kind of stuff, you never know when that kind of stuff's going to pop up.
Yeah.
And you just kind of have to make time for it.
You know? Again, it's about people.
Yeah.
And so, I am probably more guilty of anyone else joking around about things being hippy dippy, but mm-hmm. man, sometimes people do just need a hug.
Yeah.
Like it's important not to miss that opportunity. So yeah.
There's a lot of communication with people in our job. Mm-hmm. A lot of communication, and organizing and planning.
Yeah. 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 Again, I mean, it's no small task, you know, it seems. In a perfect world, it would be a small task, but
yeah.
You know, people have life going on. So I don't want to sound like I'm ragging on people at all. I'm really not. It's an interesting dynamic that's behind the scenes, and you know, people have stuff going on, and as much as we can, we want to support them through their
daily life
lives.
Gets complicated, and yeah. it gets complicated for all of us. And that's kind of what we are as a church, is we're a support system for each other.
Yeah.
It just so happens that that's actually our job, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Okay, cool. Thank you, Heather. I appreciate you kind of giving us a little bit of background, and you know who to complain about money problems now. So Next up, we're going to have Maddie. Maddie is our intern. Maddie, what does an intern do?
An intern does really whatever is asked.
All right. Well, thanks. We appreciate. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, it's crazy. You really do. I mean, I think you help everybody. I mean, from Jaden, from Silas and Gray. I mean, I think the two you mainly help with are Graydon and Silas and then Jaden.
Yeah.
So kind of what does your week to week look like?
So Sunday mornings is I get here 15, 20-ish minutes before everyone else, and I set up all the classrooms, make sure all of the like all the games and crafts are prepped for everybody.
I'll give you props. You were even the first one here.
Sunday. I was 6:20 in the morning.
6:20.
Yes. Bright, thank you.
Early. Yeah.
Don't discount. I turn on all the TVs and I set up the check-in desk. Turn on the sound system and get everything set up in the kids worship center for the elementary class. And then sometimes it's kind of every other week, I'll either lead worship with Heather or I will be in a classroom most of the services on in one of the classrooms with Jaden.
Yeah, that's kind of one of the things I just as you said that I kind of realized everybody's left that out. Everybody on staff also fills in gaps as we have people that, you know, sometimes I was just looking through Breeze is our church management software, and we send out invites to or requests. I don't know what to call them, but we schedule people to serve in various areas there. Okay. And you have the option to decline and you can give a reason if you so choose. Mm-hmm. I was going to look at that Sunday morning a couple weeks ago, and somebody had declined and said that they had dislocated their back or something. It's crazy.
Right.
I mean, you never know what's going to happen Saturday night. And so,
right.
I mean, you're a big part of filling in those gaps, especially in the kids department.
Mm-hmm.
We've got so many classrooms. So,
right.
Yeah. I had a really good question for you and I forgot what it was. So Wednesday nights, tell us a little bit about Wednesday night. 'Cause you do a lot on Wednesday nights as well with Silas and Gray, who we're going to have on next.
Yeah. Yeah. So Wednesday nights, well, Wednesday during the day, I do a lot of prep for the Sunday school classrooms and I get all of the props and whatever they need, whatever the leaders need to tell the Bible story and just games and things, get all that set up for them. And then I lead our band practice for worship on Wednesday night with the youth group. And then of course lead worship as well. And then I also just lead a small group during the sermon as we do questions and icebreakers and games and things like that. Just kind of, again, whatever is needed.
Yeah, just to get a little clarity on that. During Wednesday nights, the youth group, they have groups of what, like, six or eight around a table, they've got small groups happening and there's discussion happening throughout that night. So it's kind of even the intern, you know,
right.
not to sound derogatory about it, but everybody has people that they're leading and shepherding through every single week. So you've got, how many kids are there on the youth band?
We've got five, I think.
Five.
Yeah. Five kids.
Yeah. And I know having the youth band has brought a lot of, that's brought some momentum. Mm-hmm. It's, I personally do not enjoy worshiping to a pre-recorded video.
No,
thing. Like,
no,
there's a time and a place, I guess, you know, there's some, it's going to be perfect. You know, you can record it 1,000 times till you get it just right. But but there's something generic and unique and moving about having an actual band. So,
yeah
that's a big component of Wednesdays in itself.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And then you're also just part time. What else do you do outside of church?
I work at Chick-fil-A. I'm a team leader.
I can eat there 7 times a day.
Me too.
Good old Tim Hawkins.
Me too.
Can't.
And then I do a lot of babysitting on the side and just kind of whatever little jobs I can pick up, fill my time.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, Maddie. Thanks for giving us a kind of an overview of what your weeks looks like and what you do around here. I know the intern title is real vague, so it's good to hear that. All right. Silas and Gray, I've got you guys on at the same time. You guys collectively, make up the youth directors. So, What does that look like? How do you guys direct the youth?
Well, let's see. Before we get started, everyone says, you know, they have the hardest job, you know, to pin down. I think Silas and I have the funnest job at the church because we get to deal with the coolest kids. You know, it's the best age range, you know, for especially for our job. We get to hang out with them. We get to teach them. We get to organize stuff, prepare stuff for them. And ultimately, like, our job is literally we get to have fun with the kids and while also sharing the gospel. So I think that's something that we take for granted probably. And but looking at it now, when you look at what you do, I think that's just it's important to look at that and see how good that is for us.
Yeah, absolutely. I just agree with what he said. He covered it.
Perfect.
I got nothing else to add to that.
Yeah, no, that's fine. So what is your week to week look like? Obviously, you know, Wednesday nights, we talked about that a little bit. We've obviously got Wednesday nights. What are the age ranges you guys cover?
So we cover 7th through 12th grade on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings. So we have the pink room on Sunday mornings, which is 7th and 8th, and the red room, which is high school, 9th through 12th. And then we're all together on Wednesday nights. And on a week-to-week basis, like, we alternate who teaches on Wednesday nights. So that kind of changes the responsibilities that we have week-to-week. Overarching, they're the same, but who does what changes on a week-to-week basis. So, like, for example, Gray is teaching this week, so basically, that's going to take up the majority of his hours and his time. And so it's my job to kind of renovate that side of the church and get it ready for Wednesday night, get the food prepared, get our games and our trivia and everything that we have planned out for the night, get all of that prepared since he's going to cover the most important part being the message.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of I think you guys have done a really good job of sharing responsibilities, not just between the two of you, but you two and Maddie have all done a really good job of, especially on Wednesday night, sharing those responsibilities. And, you know, you mentioned yesterday when you guys came on staff, I said, oh, it's kind of nice to have some young people around again, because we were just a bunch of old crotchety staff there for a minute, a very short minute, but for a minute. But, you know, you said you guys have the funnest job, and there's some truth to that. Like there's always the joke in the background about, like, you know, the bus breaking down in the youth group. Like there's always something crazy happening with youth group, but it's fun. Like you do have a uniquely fun group of kids.
We're paid to build relationships with students. Like that at the core, that's kind of our job. We're at the core, we're leading people, all people to Christ. But I mean, what takes up the majority of our time on Wednesday nights is like talking, having, so I'll give an example. Last Saturday we had a fall fun night at the Harder's house. And the last hour was spent making s'mores. And then we spent probably 30 minutes of that guessing everybody's middle name. Yeah. And like that was like a cool experience. We all got to know each other on a deeper level, build a little bit more of community and culture and like a family environment that we're striving for in the youth group.
Yeah. Because similarly, one of my favorite things that's happened around the church in the last I kind of don't want to put a box on it, I guess, like that. But one of my favorite things that's happened recently on the way back from camp, we were in Arizona, and it was, what was it, an 18-hour drive or something? It was terrible.
Yeah.
Maybe 14.
Glorieta.
Glorieta, New Mexico. Yeah. New Mexico. Arizona, yeah. New Mexico.
Same place.
They're all the same.
Both hot.
Yeah, it's down there. We're coming back from New Mexico, and there wasn't a whole lot of conversation in our van, honestly. Like, there was a lot of sleeping for the first several hours. Some banter, some chat, whatever, but nothing, like, no big group discussion. But then the last hour, one of the kids started asking, like, some deep theological questions. Do you remember what any of them were?
Because he was talking about Catholicism and some of the things that they believed and other, you know, other branches. And so then we got to dive into, like, what was it?
Asking how those differ and like, why we believe what we do and why we don't believe what some of those beliefs that they do hold.
And science versus, you know, faith, the balance, the delicate balance between those.
That's all the fun and even sometimes, like, that's all Wednesday night is about. It's just getting people here and growing relationships so you can have those conversations. And it was a lot of fun to be a part of that. It's crazy that, like, I say this a little tongue in cheek. It's crazy that all your job is just building relationship,
right?
But it's in setup for those conversations.
Yeah. And I would even say the funnest part of our job isn't even having fun. like the funnest part of our job is, and what makes it so fun is that we, Silas and I are both really young as well. And so we're learning from Scott. We're consulting Maddie. We're consulting you sometimes. We talk to people. We learn as we're going. Like we see things that we need to change. And so while we're learning, that's fun. But then also we get to share that with the kids. And then we get to learn what we learn from, you know, people who are discipling us. Because I can tell you, Silas could tell you the same. I've brought things to Scott before because Silas wanted me to, because sometimes also I wanted to myself. Yeah. But there's things like we've consulted Scott. We've talked to him because he helps us grow. And then we can take what we learned from Scott, right? And then also disciple the kids. So it's been really fun because neither one of us are perfect at our job, but we have definitely learned a lot while doing this. Yeah. And I think it's only gotten better the more that we, you know, that we've gotten to work because that's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I would definitely affirm that. I mean, you guys have done a lot of things. You've grown the youth group and just in learning some of that. I mean, if I'm going to give you a hard time, like even as you guys started out, like the meals were a little bit rockier and you've learned as time has gone on, like the importance of having the meal happen on time, food warm. I mean, little thing, like these seem like little things, but again, they come back to like, it's all just a setup for discipleship. So it's cool. So I didn't tell you I was going to bring this up, but okay. Gray, I started to say Silas, I don't know who you guys are. I'm sorry.
It's fine. Totally kidding. I've only been here for a year.
It's true. Gray, I didn't tell you I was going to bring this up, but you're rolling off here in the next couple months.
So, yeah.
As you see Gray, give him a pat on the back, tell him thank you. But, Gray, kind of tell us where you headed, what's up in your life, what's going on.
Okay. So right now, I'm a student at Southern, and so I'm trying to work to graduate from that while I'm doing this. And I'm also going into the National Guard. So I'll leave for basic in January, and then I'll be gone for the next 4 months. And so you guys won't see me around. Silas is going to take over and do a great job and really, you know, push the youth forward while I'm gone. So yeah, that's basically it. I'm going to go to basic, get some training. And then when I come back, we'll see what happens. But yeah.
Yeah, it's cool. I'm excited for you, but I mean, I know we'll miss you around here, so we'll be praying for you. I mean, I know that's still, I guess it's like 3 full months off, but it's coming. 3 months goes quick, especially, you know, we've got Christmas, well, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year, all coming up. This time of year will fly right by, so.
Yeah.
All right, well, I think that pretty well does it. This podcast is a little bit longer than we normally do, but just wanted to give you an opportunity to look behind the scenes a little bit and get to know the staff a little bit better, kind of see what goes on around the scenes, see what goes on around here behind the scenes a little bit. So I hope that you enjoyed this podcast, just enjoyed getting to know our staff just a little bit better. And if you have any questions for any of the staff, don't hesitate to reach out to them individually. Everybody has their email on the website except Maddie, because she's just an intern. But reach out, we'll get you Maddie's information. We really do enjoy being a part of this church. All the staff really enjoys being a part of this church, and we enjoy working alongside you as the church. So thank you for listening this week. And like I said, if we have some good questions on this week's sermon, we'll bring those up next week. But be sure to submit your questions as we continue to go forward, and we'll answer those going forward. Thanks, guys.
Only took like 6-7.